Let's try it.
We do bring you greetings from Johnstown Missionary Baptist Church, and we're I tell you, it's a blessing to be here. We've been blessed already. We were blessed last night with the preaching. We were blessed this morning. Your all's hospitality and goodness to us. We just want to say thank you for that. It's a blessing. You know, people often ask me, why in the world do you go away and drive for several hours to spend all weekend sitting in church? They just don't understand. When God's people gather together, it gives us just a little taste of what we can look forward to someday. And I've been to conferences in West Virginia, been to conferences in North Carolina, Michigan, and other states. You know, God's people are God's people no matter where they're at. And I'm thankful we can all share and feast together around the things of the Lord. Doesn't matter where we're from, does it? When the Lord saves us, makes us one of His. So we're thankful. I'll tell you one thing that's been a blessing to me, this conference, is that you all pick on Tom Heifel. And I really enjoyed that. Because Tom's usually picking on everybody else. But when he came in here, no sooner had he gotten the door than people started picking on him. And I actually almost saw Tom Heifel speechless. And so I was, you all blessed me with that, if nothing else. So we're thankful for that. All right, that's enough of that. But turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We'll stop reading there. Several weeks ago, I was scheduled to preach at a Bible conference in Michigan, and the subject that was assigned to me was When My Change Comes. And I'd studied and prepared, and the Lord had other things in mind because I didn't and wasn't able to go. I'd developed pneumonia and had to stay in town and not be able to travel. And you know, when you're a preacher and the Lord gives you a message, you wonder, well, I'm going to preach that in Michigan. And the Lord said, no, you're not. And that happens sometimes when we preachers prepare. We think we're going to do one thing. The Lord says, no, you're going to do something else. I had not planned to bring this message to you all here. I was going to save it for another time or another place, but the Lord just impressed upon my heart to preach that message, when my change comes. And I want to tell you the two messages that we've heard this morning really solidified in my heart. This is what the Lord wanted me to preach. I tell you, as a matter of fact, I thought they both were going to preach at my message for a little while, just when they were talking about the word from the Lord and about the last days, Brother Lawrence. But I want us to think about that subject. We, as God's children, are not now what we will be. We have a great change coming. This change began when we were saved and we were made spiritually alive. We've had a process, if you want to call it that, started that will not stop until glorification. It will not stop until we stand in glory and see our Savior face to face. This change is something that God's people have longed for. We can read the accounts of saints of old, and they have longed for that change to come. It's something that we see the saints of old looking for and longing for. As a matter of fact, we can turn to the book of Job, and it's arguably the oldest book in the Bible. But in Job chapter 14 and in verse 14, we hear that saint of old say, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And then you turn over to Job 19 and read verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And after though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job makes a statement that he is going to be changed, and he makes a statement that my eyes will see the Lord, even after his body has been destroyed and turned back to dust. And I want to tell you something. Job longed for that day. He longed for that change. And we have that same assurance today. We have that same hope today. It's not a hope so, it's an anticipation. We're looking for that change and for that change to come. Folks, we will see Him. And for us to see Him, there's going to be some great changes for the child of God. I tell you what, these old earthy bodies are going to be changed. They're going to be changed to a heavenly body that will come into the presence of Jesus and see Him face to face with these eyes. Can't imagine that. That change is going to come. My change and your change will make me and make you all of God's children will be incorruptible. It's going to be a big difference from what we see around us today. And what a change. I want to notice four things concerning that change in this message. this morning. First of all, I want to assure you that this great change is a sure change. This will happen. It's assured by God Almighty Himself. Anything that God promises, it is going to take place exactly when and exactly how God says it will. His Word is sure. Pick up this Word and read, and it speaks of a great change, and that great change is going to happen. This isn't some hope-so. This isn't some pie-in-the-sky promise. This is the Word of God. And He said, it's coming. And you are going to be changed. And as you've borne the image of the earthly, you're going to bear the image of the heavenly. No man can stop him. No man can alter what God has purposed and what God has planned. It's going to come to pass. Our brother read in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35 last night. There's none that can stop God from doing what He has purposed and planned. And folks, God has appointed a time when the Lord Jesus will come back to this earth. First in the air, and then, I believe, 7 years later, brother, I agree with you, I'm premillennial, pre-trib. Then 7 years later to come, He's going to set foot on this earth. And He's going to come. It says in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, in verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I can tell you that it is sure. I can tell you that it's going to come to pass. But I cannot tell you the date or the time or the hour. And anybody that says they can, they're a liar. It's just that simple. I'm not too worried about December on the Mayan calendar, to be quite honest with you. You know, everyone's saying that when that time rolls around, this whole world is going to come to an end. The world may end in December, but it won't be the Mayan calendar that brings it about. And as a matter of fact, it won't end in December. We may be called home sometime into the future, maybe today. Do you realize that? Maybe even today that change could come. But folks, that change will come, and He will come at the appointed time. He will come in power. He will come in resurrection power, and He's going to call His saints to join Him. You come on up. Come here. And we will rise. And we will be changed. Amen. And there is no power on earth that can hinder or hold us down. Amen. When He says come, we're going to come. I don't know if I used to be a nurse before I retired. I used to work in a prison system. I can remember one day going down to the prison chapel and they had a group of inmates singing. And they were singing at him, there's nothing going to hold this whole body down. I tell you, that's one of the things that I remember positively about that experience. Hearing those men that were bound and in prison. And they were there because they deserved to. I'm not saying they didn't deserve it. But they sang that song. There's nothing going to hold this body down. And folks, that's just the way we should feel about the coming of the Lord. When that time comes, it's going to happen. It's sure. He will keep that appointment for us, and we will keep that appointment to go and be with Him. You know what John chapter 14 says. Let's just comfort ourselves with that. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We have a sure change coming. A sure change. It's one that we can look forward to. This, secondly, the appointed change is sure to come to pass. But secondly, I believe this change will be a surprising change. It will happen suddenly. And almost everyone will be surprised. And when I say almost everyone, I'm talking about the world. Mostly the world will be surprised. But I think that even some of God's people will be surprised as well. Why do I say that? Because we are commanded to watch. And there is a real danger for God's children not to be looking and watching. Or we wouldn't have received that commandment. And we wouldn't have received that warning from our Lord. You look in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Then turn on over to the book of Mark, chapter 13. Mark 13 and verse 33. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Coming of the Lord will take this world by surprise. We are told that the world will be doing what the world always does. It'll be eating, it'll be drinking, it'll be marrying. They'll be going about their lives with no thought of God. And no thought of the warning that He said that He would come. They could care less about the things of God and about the coming of the Lord. And our Savior, when He comes, it'll be a surprising event. But you know what? Our Savior told His people to watch as well. To be alert. To be anticipating His return. How many of His people are going to be surprised? I think there will be some. The world will be surprised, no doubt. But how many of us will be taken and be totally surprised? I can only say what Jesus said. He said to watch. Watch, child of God. Be alert. He's coming. It'll be surprising. So we have a sure change. We have a surprising change. And now thirdly, I want to notice a sudden change. What did our text say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That term means quickly, sudden, faster than you can blink. Do you know that there has been much debate over that phrase, twinkling of an eye? Just read up about that sometime. You won't believe how much study and debate there's been trying to define that phrase. Scientists have figured that as fast as light can pass through your eye to be reflected back, that is a twinkling. Some have even tried to measure that time by dividing the speed of light by the distance between the front of your eye and the back of your eye, and say that that's how quick a twinkling is. And depending on their figures, that length of time varies from 11 one-hundredths of a second to 5.9 milliseconds. Some say, now listen to this, it's 1/6 of a plank. Now, plank is the smallest measurement of time, and that's 10 to the negative 43rd power. That's a fraction of a second. Now, folks, that's a little more math than I care to try to understand, to be honest with you. I did my simple 1 and 1 is 2, and 2 and 2 is 4. Then my wife used to be a school teacher and said, that's only that way depending on what number base you're in. So you can go into a different number base, and 1 and 1 is not 2 anymore. Well, that did. But I'll tell you something. I know one thing that we can all do. Let's all just stop just a second with me. Now, everyone, blink your eyes right now. Okay, before that blink was even completed, the rapture was already taking place.
Amen.
Now, can you imagine that? We blink, takes maybe a little bit less than a second to blink. Before you could even blink, that rapture is going to be completed. God's Word tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, which are alive, will be taken up next and to our Lord, and we will all be changed. I don't think we're going to have time to see bodies going up out of the graveyard. I don't think we're going to have time to see planes and cars and trains, Brother Lawrence, crashing and burning. We're going to not even be able to blink. We're going to be gone. It'll happen suddenly, quickly. One moment we're going to be here if we're alive when the Lord comes. And the next moment, before we can even blink, we're going to be with our Lord.
Amen.
Changed forever. Heavenly bodies fit for all eternity with our Lord. That's sudden. That's my definition of quick. That brings us to our last point, our fourth point, when we think about our change. I like what David said. Look over in a psalm. David was talking about this. Look what he said in Psalm 17 and verse 15. He said this, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." It's going to be a satisfying change. David said he would be satisfied when he was changed. Folks, this change will satisfy everyone of God's children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This change will satisfy every longing, child of God. That change will make us like unto our Lord. No sin, no sickness, no pain, no parting, no grief. This change will satisfy forever. Nothing in this world satisfies us for long, does it? How many times have we thought, if I could just get that job, I'll be satisfied. If I could just buy that car, I'd be satisfied. If I could just own that house, I'll be satisfied. If I could just date that girl, I'd be satisfied. How long did that satisfaction last? I can remember many years ago, when my wife and I were first married, there was a car called a Nova, and they had what they called an SS Super Sport. And we just had to have an SS Super Sport. She was working, I was working, we were able to afford it. We went to the dealer and we ordered it the way that we wanted it. So we got it a baby, it was a dark blue, had black racing stripes, black bucket seats, had an automatic transmission on the floor, and that thing looked and sounded wonderful. And we went down to the dealer and we signed the papers and we drove that car home. Oh, we were so happy. That was the worst lemon I think I've ever owned. We had that thing about a week or 2 weeks, and I had to take it to the shop. We had it for 2 or 3 days. I had to take it to the shop. Now, this was before the lemon laws. We just had to deal with it. And I know that we had that car for about a year, and it spent more time in the shop than Patty and I did driving. So we ended up trading it off. Didn't satisfy for long, did it? That's just the way the world is. The satisfaction that the world offers is temporary. It's not lasting. This world and the things of this world will never satisfy you. Lost sinner, it won't satisfy you. Child of God, this world won't satisfy you. But one day, child of God, we will be changed and we'll have that perfect, complete satisfaction. Can you imagine a bunch of Baptists getting together and there'll be no fights? No jealousies? And I'm not saying only saved people are Baptists. Don't say that Pete Horn said that. I don't believe that. That God's people won't have the anger or the petty jealousies or the tempers or coveting or sin of any kind. Can you imagine not have any sin of any kind in your person, in your mind, in your thoughts, around you? It's the sin's going to be gone.
Yeah,
our hearts and our minds will be satisfied with Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't know about you all, but I long for that change. We were at a fellowship meeting a month ago, and we were discussing, two or three of us preachers were talking about what we were going to preach, and I said, well, I'm supposed to preach on when my change comes. One of my good preacher friends says, Pete Horn, I can't wait until you're changed. And another good preacher friend who's sitting here in a red shirt, I won't name his name, he said, amen! Our brothers can always help us out, can't they? You know, I'm longing for that change more than they were longing for my change. I can't wait when that day comes. You know what? It's going to be a sure change. It's going to be a surprising change. It's going to be a sudden change. And my, my, we're going to be satisfied. My change is coming.
Amen. Amen.
Have another song, Brother Robert.
If you want to stand and stretch, that'd be fine.
Number 141. 141.